Amen. So I'm ready to go. So if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Exodus 20, we're going to be in Exodus 20, verse 8. And today we are on, anybody know what commandment we're on? Four. That's what I'm talking about. I see you back there, Josh Burgett's like right here. Number four. All right, so let's say these together as we've been doing it. I want to see our memory. Okay, here we go. Commandment number one. There you go. Yes. All right, let's do this together. Here we go. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two. Number three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. And number 10. Amen. Great job, you guys. We're going to have these memorized. They're already written on our heart. Hey, no updates on Senate Bill 10. I shared last week about what's going on right here in the state of Texas, as there's a law that's been passed, right, a couple Sundays ago, that is mandating every public school, every classroom in the state of Texas to have the Ten Commandments posted. It was passed in the House, passed by the Senate. Now they're waiting for Greg Abbott to sign it. Our governor, once he signs it, then all school districts between now and September 1, it'll be in the hands of the school board to vote. And then depending on that, then we'll see what schools and all that. I think that's a great win to have the moral code posted in our public schools. We had no idea when we were planning to go through the Ten Commandments 6, 7, 8 months ago, how long ago it was. But God always has a plan. Amen. And so major victory. We'll see what happens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Exodus 20, verse 8 says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughters, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. Verse 11, for the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Let's pray. God, as we dive right here into your moral code, God, we know that it's still intact. So we as the church are ready to receive. We are ready to apply. And we are ready to allow our lights to shine. Lord, we love you. Speak to us. Reveal your truth to us through this fourth commandment. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We've been talking about these commandments, knowing that the first four, which we're wrapping up number four today, have everything to do with my relationship or our relationship with God. And then the last six, with the moral code, has everything to do with my relationship or your relationship with each other. And so here we are on this fourth commandment, a very controversial commandment, many different interpretations. Even when you read New Testament scripture, you can pass through a particular scripture that we'll talk about in Colossians that at first value, when you read it, it seems as though God is saying we do not no longer have to honor or uphold a Sabbath day. And so the word Sabbath here is Shabbat, right? It means to cease. It means to stop, okay? And so here in this fourth commandment, Old Testament, that is Old Covenant, Old Testament, right, from Genesis to Malachi, this is before Jesus, right? This Sabbath day generally was by definition, was done on Saturday, okay? And so many people still practice it today, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, right? And then Jews still to this day hold the Sabbath on Saturday very holy, a day of Shabbat. It's a very sacred day for Jews. And so what does that mean for us, right? So by definition, Saturday was the day of Sabbath, right? But in the New Testament, you look at the new church, right? The early church, the birthing of the church starting through the Gospels, right? And as the new church is being developed and birthed, right, in Acts, you see how the day of worship transitioned from Saturday to Sunday. Now, Old Testament Jews, and even today, they celebrate the Sabbath because that was the day that commemorates their freedom from Egypt. And so, therefore, we talked about it just a few weeks ago, Passover, and several of the things that people would celebrate because of their deliverance on Saturday. But the New Testament church, or the early church, began to worship and commemorate the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday. Therefore, the day of worship was Sunday. And so even today, you have Saturdays and Sundays. And so depending on your interpretation and depending on, you know, denomination and all of those, you still have some who debate on whether a proper Sabbath is supposed to be done on a Saturday or if it's supposed to be done on a Sunday. And so what I want to do today as we dive through this, right, is I want to show you that it's not necessarily, actually not even use the word necessarily. Scripture says, and we'll see it in Romans, it's not about a day. It's not about a day. There's a bigger principle here, and the greater principle, Jesus reveals it in Scripture, and we'll look at this. And so to kind of backpedal a little bit, why was the Jews and Old Testament tradition, why were they so, I want to say religious, but that's kind of a bad word. We need to kind of understand where they're at. Why were they so uptight when it came to the day of the Sabbath? The reason is you see it in Exodus 31:15, and so I'm going to go there. This is, just follow along. This is where Moses is up on the mountain, and God is speaking before Moses has the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And so God is speaking to Moses, and he's telling him this. You look at Exodus 31:15, it says this, "Work may be done for 6 days, but on the seventh day there must be a Sabbath, a Shabbat, of complete rest, holy to the Lord." And then he says, "Anyone who does work on the Sabbath day must be put to death." And so Old Testament was this. If you were working on a Sabbath day that was deemed holy, you were to be put to death. And so then the question became, well, what constitutes work? What defines work? And so what you have here is you have this commandment from God that says the Sabbath day is holy, okay? And now if you're caught working on a Sabbath, then you will be put to death. Big deal. Nobody wants to die for working. And so the issue here is about 200 years B.C., that's 200 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, you had a bunch of religious leaders and Sadducees and Pharisees and all of these super religious people that took this commandment and took what does constitute work, and they created what they call a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is still intact today, and Jews still follow it. But what they did is they took the Torah, which is Old Testament law, right? They took the old commandments, they took Old Testament, and then they created what's called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is man's interpretation of what work is, and they broke it down into 39 points to try to create a commentary of what work is. And then under each bold print of what work is, then there's a series of what not to do that constitutes work. And so Old Testament religious leaders were super strict when it came to what is work. And so I pulled just a few. Now you can go look this up on your own time. It's Mishnah, okay? But I pulled a few to see kind of what they were, what they constituted as work. And some of them are kind of funny, but I just pulled them so you would understand what work would be even to this day through their interpretation. under Shabbat or under their Mishnah, their interpretation of keeping a holy Sabbath, one of the rules was you had to tear toilet paper, the little squares, you had to tear toilet paper the day before Shabbat, because on Shabbat, if you had to go to the bathroom and you went to clean yourself and you pulled the toilet paper, that was considered work, and that would be violating the fourth commandment. Another one was no flipping the light switch on or off on Shabbat. So therefore, you had to have appliances, you had to have lights, you had to have everything pre-planned the day before Shabbat, because if you were turning on appliances, if you were turning on light switches, if you were doing anything with any electricity, then that was considered work. So therefore, you are violating this fourth commandment. Another one was you couldn't water the grass, because if you were watering, then that was considered farming, and you would be in violation of the fourth commandment. If you cooked and you threw out a pot of hot boiling water and it went onto the grass, that would be considered violating this fourth commandment. Another crazy one was as they ate, if they had a fruit basket and they went to eat grapes, if there was any bad grapes, you couldn't take the bad grape out, because that would be considered work and you would be violating this fourth commandment. All the way down to how you open a banana. If you open a banana a certain way, then depending on how you open that banana, it would be in violation of this fourth commandment. You weren't allowed to look into mirrors, because if you're elder in age and you look in a mirror and you see a gray hair, you may be enticed to pluck it, and that would be considered breaking the Sabbath. So there's tons of man-made commentary on what work is in the Mishnah that's still around today that people hold very, very, very dear. And so here's the issue. 200 BC, this was beginning. Jesus was aware of man's interpretation and commentary that was developed on what work is under the Sabbath. And so when Jesus would arrive on scene, and we're going to go through a quick story here in a second, but when Jesus would arrive on scene, he would do some things on the Sabbath that was totally against the Mishnah. And so you had the religious leaders like going all bananas because of what Jesus is doing, and Jesus would show, hey, what I'm doing is not wrong. What you're doing is wrong. Are you following me? And so here we can see here Mark 2 going through verse 23 to the beginning of chapter 3. We can see a specific time where now New Testament, Jesus is on scene, and where he has a little confrontation with these religious leaders who are really, really, really wound up when it comes to the Mishnah and when it comes to what is constituted work under their interpretation and their commentary on the Sabbath. And so here we go, Mark 2, verse 23. It says this, on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. Verse 24, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, Jesus said to them, have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? Verse 26, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And also he gave some to his companions. Verse 27, then he told them the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, so then the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Let's keep going. Jesus, here's another time. Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a shriveled hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely. This is the Pharisees now watching Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. Verse 3, he told the man with the shivered hand, stand before us. Verse 4, then he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. After looking around at them with anger, he was grieved at the hardness of their heart. And he told the man, stretch out your hand. And so he stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. Verse 6, immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might kill him. So if you can see here, the Pharisees and the religious leaders had their interpretation of what was work and what was not. But then you have Jesus here, and he shows two different occasions. And what he shows is that the first time, as they're walking through the grain field, his disciples are picking the top of the wheat. Why? Because they're hungry. And so what he shows us is it was then, way back, because he uses a story about David, that David and his men were really hungry, and so they went in and they ate the sacred bread that was only supposed to be for the priest, but they did it anyway. And then here they are again doing it, New Testament. And so what Jesus shows the religious leaders is, listen, back then, even on Shabbat, even on Sabbath, and even today, it's okay when you're in need. So in other words, out of necessity, these people, in the eyes of the religious people, broke this fourth commandment, but he technically didn't, because on a Shabbat, on the Sabbath, it's okay when you're in need. What does this mean modernly? Some of us work on Saturdays, some of us work on Sundays. Not everybody gets a day or two on, compared to everybody else when you should be off. And so what Jesus is saying is when you're on a day of Sabbath, you are permitted to do things out of needs, out of necessity, and you're not violating this fourth commandment. In other words, if you're at home resting and you're hungry and you need to cook something to feed your family, you can do so and you're not violating the fourth commandment. So when you look at the Mishnah and you have all these rules and regulations of what you couldn't do, Jesus is saying that's not what God's interpretation of rest was. So therefore, when it comes to a day of Sabbath, if you're in this place of necessity, need, some of us need to work because we have to provide for our families. Some of us need to do things when everyone else is taking a day off because it's part of our livelihood. Jesus is saying it's okay to do that. The second one you see where Jesus heals the man. And what he's saying is even on the Sabbath, it's okay to show mercy to people. Even on your Sabbath day, it's okay to still be a Christian. Amen? For instance, If we're on taking a Sabbath day and a brother calls or a sister calls and they need something, right? They need prayer. They need somebody to talk to. We're not to be religious people and say, I'm sorry, I'm having my Sabbath, therefore I can't, show mercy to you because I don't want to violate the fourth commandment. No, what Jesus is saying, hey, be merciful for my Father is merciful, right? Lend out a hand. Be a Christian even on the day of rest, because that is what Jesus is trying to show here. And so Old Testament versus New Testament, it just shows here that the interpretation that even gets confused today is all these man-made regulations versus what the Sabbath is actually there for. And so we can do things out of necessity, out of mercy when it comes to the time that we're taking for our Sabbath. Amen? So here's the next thing. Why the Sabbath? Why would God put the Sabbath in place? And why is it relevant for us today? There's two specific reasons why God would put this fourth commandment in play. And we see it in Exodus 20, verse 8. And then we also see it in Deuteronomy. So I'm going to read this again. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested. Everybody say rested. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. So point number one, if you're taking notes under this, why the Sabbath? What's the purpose? The first thing is rest. Rest. God would put this in play to show, number one, rest. We're going to come back to rest. Number two, you see in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. It's the Ten Commandments again. There's more commentary depending on what commandment we're in. And he says this, Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. He says, be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Here it is. Remember, everybody say remember. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So Scripture tells us, when it comes to the Sabbath, get all those Mishnah man-made regulations and all the confusion about why do we have a Sabbath, get it all and put it in a box and just throw the box in the trash. Because Scripture tells you in two particular places why God specifically would put it in. Number one, He does it for rest. As He told us, God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. Now, here's what we need to recognize. It's not that God rested because He was so tired doing all this work. But He did that to show a principle for you and I as human beings, that we are built flesh and bone. But He wanted to show and model us, as Scripture tells us, that God created in 6 days. Therefore, on the seventh day, you need to rest. Amen? The second is under remember. Because in Deuteronomy, yes, God would speak about working 6 days, taking the seventh day off. But He says, here's why I want you to do it. I want you to do it to remember. Remember what? Remember the freedom. Remember the freedom of deliverance that took place for all of the Israelites that were in captivity and in bondage in Egypt. You follow me? So what does that mean modernly for us? What that means modernly for us is the reason and the purpose for us to have one day of rest is, one, because our physical bodies need it. And number two is, just like the Israelites needed to remember their deliverance under the slavery and bondage of Egypt, you and I need to remember the greater deliverance of the greater sin, the greater slave that we had, the bondage and oppression that we had to sin. Hebrews were freed from Egypt, sin over slavery, Egyptian oppression. Modern day Christians today were freed from the greater oppression of sin and death. So therefore, we have this specific day put in place for rest and for remembrance. Amen? And so Jesus would speak to this and show us why we need to have this. Today, Christians are now reminded of the greater deliverance of sin and death. So therefore, on our days of Sabbath, a day of rest, it's for us to remember our great deliverance that we all have received, a greater freedom from sin and death, and the fact that we're not going to be eternally separated. Amen? The other one is rest. And here's the simplicity of it. You need, I need, we need to honor the Sabbath, which means take one day not only to remember what Jesus has done for you and freed you from, but you need to take one day to be off. Look at your neighbor and say, learn to be off. Look at your other neighbor and say, learn to be off. Why? Because Scripture says, learn to be off. And that's hard here in America because we live in busyness. We have ways to justify. But this is very serious because many of us in this room, okay, are overworked. You're sleep deprived. You are outstretched. Many of us in this room pride ourselves in a hard work and a strong work ethic, and we should have those things. But at what cost? At what cost? Honor the Sabbath day. It is not a recommendation. It is not a suggestion. It is a demand, a command from your Creator that says you work 6 days and you take at least one day off. A strong work ethic is great. Production is great. But at what cost? We have appliances. Women have appliances, I should say. Some of you guys that have long hair, it's so nice. You might have an appliance. But women have curling irons that when they get too hot, they shut off. Or us men, and some of you women, have power tools that when the battery runs out, it turns off. Some of us have heaters that when it gets knocked off, there's a safety switch and it stops running. And you as a human being have a safety switch also, and it's called a heart attack. Or a mental breakdown. Here's the God-honest truth. It's good to work hard. It's good to get out there and be productive. It's good to provide for your family. But when I say at all cost, I mean at what cost? Here's what I mean in modern English. If something happens to you, you'll be replaced in a week. Some of us in this room are married to our jobs and not married to our spouses. You may have a ring. It may look like you're married on paper. But I'm talking about the emotional connection, the physical demand, the mental. You're married to your job. Married to a hobby. So at what cost? Learn to take a day off. I promise your spouse will appreciate it. And your children will appreciate it. And not only that, but it'll honor God. There's one of you, and there's 50 other people who can do your job, whether you're a business owner or whether you're just, you know, an employee. There's 50 other people who can step in and do your job. There's not 50 other people who can step in and be a spouse, the same spouse that you are to your spouse or the same mom and dad to your children. So learn to take the day off. Amen? Amen. Come on, I need to hear a better amen. Amen? There it is. Praise the Lord. All right, and if you take the day off, be prepared to be called lazy and be prepared to be called all kinds of words if you ask for a day off or whatever. But, oh well, you're not accountable to your employer. Necessarily, you're accountable before the Lord. All right? Amen? Look to your neighbor again and say, take a day off. Like every week, take a day off. There you go. Now, hey, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. I'm testifying, baby. I'm testifying. Can I say something else? Just a little bit. A little bit. Just a little bit more. If you are a boss, if you're a boss in this room, okay, and I'm talking to myself too, okay? If we have employees, I want you to remember Ephesians 6, all right? What Ephesians 6 tells us, it's the whole master and slaves. Modern English, it's manager, business owner, and employees, okay? There's strong direction that says the employees, modern language, you know, the employees are to work diligently and honorably and hard and all this stuff for their master, right? As unto the Lord. And that's a good responsibility. But the greater responsibility is for the manager, the business owner, the person who oversees all the employees. Why? Because what Scripture says is, in modern terms, is that remember, those employees that you oversee, they belong to me. And so the way that you steward your employees, the way that you manage your employees, you do it honorably before the Lord, because ultimately, all of those employees belong to God. So in other words, it's this: don't see your employees as machines. If we see our employees with dollar bills in production, then we need to do some major repentance. Because I don't know about you, I've been behind, and here's what I've learned. Whether I get it all done today or whether I get it all done tomorrow for the sake of my own well-being, it's still going to get done. Amen? So let's learn to take care of ourselves, and let's learn to take care of our employees. Not because Pastor Anthony's being a jerk. No, because Scripture says, Ephesians 6, if you need it, and 4 is honor the Lord on this Sabbath day by doing two things. One, remember that God has freed you from the slavery of sin and death. And number 2, find rest, because even the Lord took a day, the seventh day, after he worked 6. Amen? Amen? There it is. And Jesus would say Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? It means Sabbath, Shabbat, the day, the time. This is a gift, a time off, a day of rest, of remembrance and rest, is a gift to man. That's what Jesus said. Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? Sabbath is not this super holy, you know, spiritual day that every human being needs to honor and worship and do all this stuff, because that's not it. That's religious thinking, okay? That's not what this is saying. As a matter of fact, it's not even about a day. Let's just keep going. So the purpose of Sabbath is so that we would remember what Jesus did for us. Say amen. And that we would learn to rest. Say amen. When we rest physically, we rest emotionally, we rest mentally, and ultimately it affects our spiritual life. Amen? Amen. Say, I'm not a machine. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. So the principle, and I'll wrap this up, okay? The principle of Sabbath, it's not about a day. All right, we learned that when we were in our Roman series, when you had the Jews and the Gentiles, when they were arguing, it was under disputable matters. Some of you remember it, but under disputable matters, you had both groups of people that came into the church. You had Jews that had their diet, and then they had their day of worship, which was Saturday, and they ate like salad and stuff. And then you had the Gentiles who were also part of the church, and their diet was meat eaters, amen, and their day of worship was Sunday. And so as they came together, there was argument and disagreement and all this stuff. And Paul would write and he'd say, listen, it's not about diet and it's not about days. Everybody remember that? Okay, good. Here it goes. Romans 14, verse 5, it says this. One person judges one day, talking about Sabbath, day of worship. One person judges one day to be more important than any other day. And someone else judges every day to be the same. But let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. So what that means is it's not about a particular day. Remember, the Sabbath, the gift, was made for man. So in other words, look at your day of schedule and figure out a day where we can start being faithful to God when it comes to this Sabbath day. Colossians 2, I'm almost done. Colossians 2, 16 through 17. I shared this a few weeks ago, and I told you I'd come back to it. Colossians 2, verse 16 says this, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ." So what does this mean? It means the ultimate place when it comes to this Sabbath is that it all points back to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Modern terms is this: only Jesus, say only Jesus, can give me true rest. Only Jesus. So it's not about a day. It's the greater principle. And here's even a higher principle. The only way that you and I find true rest on the earth is when we know 100% in our hearts that we're at peace with God. If you're a believer today, you should have rest in your heart, in your soul. Why? Because you're at peace with your Creator. If you are living from this place of unsettledness, anxiety, worry, fear, uncertainty, and it has a grip on you, then what you have unintentionally done is you've made an exchange of God's grace and His peace of eternal life and freedom and all of this stuff, and you've put that on the back burner, and we're elevating temporal stuff, and we're ultimately allowing our worship to be slaves to how I feel instead of God's truth. We're going to have anxieties. We're going to have stresses. We're going to have worries. We're going to have uncertainties. There's things that are going to pop up, but all those things are meant, one, to show us where we're at, and two, to lead us to the cross. Because it's at the cross where we make the exchange of what I'm feeling based on what He says. And if He says that I'm at peace with God and He's given me complete rest, then I need to make the exchange and say, what's greater here, my worry and my fear, or His presence and the peace and rest that He's given me in my heart? Well, I got so much to do tomorrow, and I have so much to do this week. Well, you don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. It's only through the mercy of God that you have the very breath in your lungs. So find peace and find rest. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, the true Sabbath, you will never experience rest, soul rest, until you have received the true soul rest that only comes in and through surrender and relationship to Jesus Christ. When you have peace with death, you can have peace on the earth. Peace on death means I know I'm here, but the second I'm gone, I'm with my Creator for all eternity. That's peace. When you don't know, it's chaos. So my encouragement is this: find peace with Jesus Christ today. You can simply do it by surrender. If you're a Christian today, you need to wake up and honor the Sabbath day by remembering, first and foremost, what you've been delivered from. And number two, find time to rest. Get your priorities in order. One, for your own health and the well-being of your family. And two, to honor God. There's zero excuses. Amen? Amen. Would you please stand? Worship team, you can come out and play. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Maybe it's not work, right? Maybe it's anxieties. Maybe it's stresses. Maybe it's, Father's Day is coming up, and any holidays are just, man, they mess with people, right? And so even though we look at moral code and this fourth commandment, right? And ultimately, everything points back to true rest and truth of Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're in this situation today where your lights are flashing on your dashboard like a vehicle. Hey, you got lights flashing here. Maybe you are somebody who's overextended. Maybe you are somebody who's dealing with all kinds of emotional anxieties and stresses and fears, and you are just, you know, suffering inside, suffering in silence. That's what I call it. Where on the outside it looks good, but man, you are carrying some stuff. Maybe you work because you don't want to deal with the stuff. It's one of the ways that you deal with whatever. And again, some of you have not given your life to Jesus. The bottom line is there's no peace on earth until you have peace with Jesus. But here's the beautiful thing. How do I apply the Sabbath? How do I apply it? Jesus would say in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says this, "Come to me." Just close your eyes for a second. Just close your eyes. We'll let the Holy Spirit work on our hearts right here. Say, I want to honor all these Ten Commandments, and I want to be a, you know, I want to deal with it. Here it is. Come to me. But I have all this stuff going on in my family. But I have all this stuff on my farm. I have all this stuff at my business. I have all this stuff in the church. Come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not the completion of your task will give you rest. Not the more that you read your Bible will give you rest. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will. Not you may, not hopefully. No, he says, you will find rest for your souls.
They said it is.
Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, Father, right here with every heart that's open, Lord, you know where we are. Lord, you have the power to speak to the seas, the winds and the waves. And just at one word, God, you have the ability to say, be still. God, you know where every single one of these people, myself included, are today. And I just ask in the name of Jesus that you'd speak to it right now. That there'd be a priority shift in this house. With every person in their workplaces, in their families. All busyness is mismanagement of priority, and I believe that with all my heart. So we ask for wisdom, we ask for your grace, we ask for your peace. We're not going to just be people who attend church, we're going to be the church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We just declare rest right now over every person. If you need rest, just put your hand over your heart right now. Hey, can we give God another shout of praise? Come on. Man, I know truth sometimes goes down like Brussels sprouts, but aren't we so grateful that the Lord loves us enough to put this kind of truth in, to say, remember what I've done for you and find rest. It's a gift. Amen? Amen. So, altar team, if you'll come, I'm going to pray. For us, if you need prayer, come get prayer. If you're carrying some burden, if there's some unease in here and you just need some help, come to one of these people and get some prayer. Let them bless you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, come receive the greatest gift today through surrender, and we'll help you be part of the family. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, thank you so much for your truth. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the simple practice is to simply come to you and to get our priorities in order, to remember the joy of our salvation, and to find rest for our souls. Bless these wonderful people. Bless their families. Bless their businesses. We thank you for health. Thank you for life. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving us and for giving us your truth. Let all that we do always bring honor and glory to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And all his church said, amen. If you need prayer, please come get prayer. If not, we love you. God bless you. And then we will. Hey, let's go. Come on.